The fire burns out of control. It's a devastating sight that did more than burn property. It tried to attack the people who live here.
We got a major wind shift.
This blaze in Canaveral Groves is still under investigation, and firefighters are still calling it suspicious.
Wildfire. We all feel anxious when one of these dramatic scenes unfolds. We fear for our homes, our belongings, our loved ones. But fires have actually played a valuable role in shaping and preserving Florida's natural landscape. Many of Florida's natural communities, its pinelands, scrub, marshes, and even some swamp systems are all fire-dependent communities, which means they depend on periodic cycles of fire for regeneration, growth, and maintenance. Fire benefits natural communities by consuming overgrowth and enriching the soil, creating a fertile environment for new growth. Renewed vegetation provides homes and food for a wide variety of Florida's native animals. Like the habitat itself, these animals, some of which are unique to Florida and even endangered, also depend on Florida's natural cycle of fire. Historically, all these communities have depended on fires caused by Florida's dramatic storms and lightning that accompanies them.
We have more lightning in Florida than any place in the country, and if you think about when lightning occurs the most in Florida, it's at the end of our dry season, which is in May and June, and that's when everything's driest, and when you have lightning coming, you end up with a lot of fires.
Florida's unique position and climate have led to a distinct fire season. Each year, from late spring to early fall, moist air converges inland along Florida's coastlines. Land surface heats the moist air to form convective storm systems that move across the peninsula almost daily. These storms typically produce a million lightning strikes per year in Florida. That's 25 lightning strikes per square mile each year. That's more than anywhere in the United States. It's the kind of explosive activity that generates Florida's natural and historical seasonal fires. Tens of thousands of years of repeated storm and fire cycles like this have sculpted Florida's landscape into a mosaic of efficient natural living systems. In forest communities, fire maintains the open canopy and clears the understory so sunlight may reach the forest floor.
The plant species in Florida have learned to live with fire, and some of them directly benefit from fire. Things like wiregrass and toothache grass, they will only seed after a summer fire, and so they are very uniquely, specifically adapted to fire. Other plants such as palmettos and even the pine trees don't necessarily need fire, but they're adapted to having fire around.
Fire also recycles nutrients back into the soil, which immediately benefits new plant growth. It also stimulates the flowering of many plants and grasses, evidence that Florida is indeed the name it implies, the land of flowers. Florida's high pine and pine flatwood communities have evolved through millions of years of low-intensity fires. These fires move through the landscape, regenerating the understory every 3 to 10 years. The wiregrass of the high pine and the saw palmetto understory of these pine flatwoods provide a highly flammable material that promotes fire. In such a fire, hardwoods die, while pine trees, with their protective, relatively fire-resistant bark, survive the flames found on flat lowlands. Pine flatwoods, with their poorly draining sandy soils, make up 50% of the state's landmass. Pine flatwoods are also the most extensive terrestrial ecosystems in Florida. A number of plant species in the flatwoods are unique to Florida and considered endangered. Also, flatwoods support a diverse array of animal life, including the fox squirrel, cotton mouse, and 20 to 30 species of reptiles and amphibians. A few large mammals, like the white-tailed deer, black bear, and a Florida panther, are also found in the flatwoods environment. Bird species, such as the red-cockaded woodpecker, have adapted to fire and its periodic occurrence. The pineland habitat of the red-cockaded woodpeckers must be maintained relatively free of small hardwood trees, or the woodpeckers will abandon the area. Seasonal fires also appear to be important in the growth and maintenance of food plants used by butterflies during the fall migration through Florida. In contrast to the pine flatwoods, high pines occur at higher elevations along the well-drained sandy ridges of the peninsula as well as the panhandle. Longleaf pine take 80 years to mature and can live more than 500 years. An understory of grasses such as wiregrass and blue stems dominate high pine forests. These systems support a broad spectrum of wildlife, including Sherman's fox squirrel and burrowing species like the gopher tortoise and the pocket gopher that require loose soil of the sandhill communities. Some species, such as the red-cockaded woodpecker, brown-headed nuthatch, and the southeastern kestrel, use these old-growth longleaf forests. As the forests have declined, the animal populations have also declined. Fire naturally regenerates these pineland communities by consuming ground-layer vegetation. Because the grasses, palmettos, and small hardwoods are excellent fire fuel, regular cycles of natural fire prevent their buildup to dangerous proportions.
Right after you burn and the grasses grow back, the regrowth is very succulent, it's very high in protein and other desirable things. And one of the things that the ranchers have done in this region for 100 years or more is they burn regularly. And what happens is when a cow is nursing her calf, she has this 100 or 200 pound animal living off her. She has to have the best diet she can to help support that calf. And so if you burn your prairie or your flatwoods or whatever, this regrowth is very high in protein. The cow can eat that regrowth. It's very good food for her. She can support her calves.
A few short days after a fire passes through, bright green palmetto fronds and small tender shoots of wiregrass quickly replace blackened vegetation. As new tender growth replaces old, the scene becomes a fertile habitat for land birds like the bobwhite quail or gopher tortoises, and even white-tailed deer. Fire also reduces competition between hardwoods and pines. If fire is absent, the pine trees will eventually yield to fast-growing oaks that quickly fill the forest canopy, outcompeting the pines for vital sunlight, soil nutrients, and space to establish seedlings. Florida's scrub communities are also adapted to fire for regeneration and natural health. Scrub communities burn at much longer intervals than pine flatwoods, once every 20 to 70 years. And unlike the flatwood forest, all scrub vegetation, trees and shrubs, are completely consumed due to the high intensity of the fire itself.
Pretty much every ecosystem in Florida is a fire community, and not all of them burn all the time. Today we're standing on Florida's prairies. We think they burned every 2 or 3 years, and that's probably one of the most frequently of Florida's communities that burned. And these are burning just because of natural lightning fires. Some of the other communities, like scrub, only burn maybe every 10 to 30 or 40 years, but they always did burn. We have so much lightning, and if you look at the characteristic architecture and composition of the plants in Florida, they are made to burn. And so we will always have fires, and we need to learn how to manage them appropriately.
In the scrub communities, the natural cycle of fire promotes the vegetation's regeneration. Scrub vegetation has adapted to the natural fire cycle by either forming the elaborate underground root structures that are immune from the heat and blaze above, or by storing their seeds in the soil, allowing new, fresh shoots to grow. As a result, animals like the Florida scrub jay and the gopher tortoise have a more abundant food supply. Frequent fires are necessary to maintain species of oaks that are a critical component of the habitat and food supply of Florida scrub jays. Some trees, like the sand pine, have more specific needs from fire. As a blaze passes over the sand pine, its cones open and release seeds that will germinate in the cleared soil, thereby ensuring the species' own survival.
If we would have fires more often, you would have more controllable fires. There wouldn't be as much standing stuff to burn, and the fires would proceed like they always had, relatively low-intensity fires that are very healthy for our ecosystems.
Scrub fires commonly begin in adjacent pinelands. Under extremely dry conditions with low humidity, fires in the pinelands will often spread into the scrub community.
Not only have we always had fires, but the plants and animals have adapted to these fires. And in a sense, taking fires out of these ecosystems makes them unhealthy. There are a lot of plants that will not germinate or reproduce if we don't have fires around.
Logging, urbanization, and agricultural uses in these neighboring pinelands have isolated scrub, driving some plants and animals toward extinction. As fires in adjacent systems are prevented from sweeping across the landscape, most of Florida scrubs can no longer regenerate themselves. Now, nearly all scrub communities depend on prescribed fires for their own maintenance. Pine plantations have replaced natural longleaf pine and flatwood forests. Meanwhile, suburban developments have expanded into natural areas that are fire dependent.
All of Florida remains critically dry. Less than 90% of an average year's rainfall has fallen so far this year.
From May through early August 1998, nearly 2,500 fires swept across the state, burning 500,000 acres and consuming 300 structures. The 1998 Florida wildfires were caused by the buildup of fuel loads that would naturally burn as part of Florida's fire cycle.
The fuel grew and grew and grew year after year and never got burned off. And in a regular system, we have fires every 2 to 10 years or maybe every 2 to 20 years. And the fuel that accumulates gets burned off, and so you don't have these catastrophic fires. When you have housing developments, people tend to not burn, and so the fuel builds up and up and up, and by the time it finally catches fire, we cannot control those fires. And so those are much more harmful fires for human interest than a natural fire.
As a result, we faced a string of fires that burned out of control in heavily populated areas. Homes were destroyed, people displaced, and the effort to put out the wildfires cost the state a lot of money. It's estimated that the price tag for Florida's 1998 fires exceeded $150 million. Instead of playing its natural role on the landscape, the 1998 wildfires became a destructive force on humans.
The 1998 wildfires probably overall were good for wildlife. When you have areas that haven't burned for a long time and they have excessive fuel buildup, when those fires go through, they do actually kill a lot more trees than a natural fire would. They cause a lot hotter fires, and they can kill a lot of plants that wouldn't normally die. But overall, it's better to burn a system even with a catastrophic fire than to let it grow more and more decadent.
To prevent catastrophic wildfires and to preserve Florida's natural communities, we now have to mimic the natural fire process through prescribed burning. A prescribed burn is an intentional fire deliberately set to act like the natural process. Like natural fire, prescribed burning will preserve plant diversity and animal species and prevent catastrophic wildfires.
It's good for the environment. It's good to reduce the fuel loads. In the event that we have another summer like we did in 1998, this would be very, very important to the adjacent landowners, because we've got such heavy fuel loads in here that if we did have a wildfire, it would be very, very, very difficult to contain.
For larger animals, things like raccoons and deer, or certainly for birds, most of these fires, especially a prairie fire or a regular prescribed burn, they're not as hot a fire, they're not as fast moving, and the animals just move out of the way. They can run out of the way or fly out of the way, whatever. If you're something like an insect, or if you're a snake or a frog or a salamander, or even a turtle, a lot of these fires at this point kill you. They come along, and if you're in the way, you can't escape the fire, and you end up dying. If you're out doing a prescribed burn, one thing you'll notice is you have an awful lot of sandhill cranes and caracaras and hawks and different kinds of predators come into the burned areas, and that's what they're doing, is they're looking for animals that got killed by the fire, which they quickly will eat. A lot of animals also can live underground in burrows, like gopher tortoises have burrows, and there's very many animals that live in those burrows. And of course, when a fire goes across the land, its heat effects really don't go down more than about an inch in the soil. So anything that can get underground can survive the fire.
In Florida, human use of fire has a long history. Native Americans used fire as an agricultural tool nearly 800 years ago. European settlers burned to regenerate plant growth in areas for cattle grazing. The Florida Division of Forestry regulates prescribed fires in the state by issuing burn permits to certified burners who have completed 5 to 10 days of training in standardized classes. When an area is targeted for a burn, those who conduct the fire develop a burn plan. The plan identifies the habitat conditions in the area, natural fuel buildup, anticipated temperature, as well as the relative humidity and wind speeds projected for the day of the burn. The plan must also take into account surrounding conditions like nearby houses, roads, and commercial businesses.
The most critical thing when we're doing a burn is to make sure that all the bases are covered. We have someone in charge of smoke management. We have a weather person who's constantly checking the weather conditions. We have contacted the media. We have all our bases covered. So if things go wrong, we have a contingency plan in place that'll allow us to get the situation under control.
As a society, we've come to view fire as a feared destructive power. But through careful and educated management, prescribed burning in Florida's natural communities not only helps protect our homes, our families, and our possessions, it maintains as well the ecosystems that surround us, preserving wildlife and their habitats for us and future generations of Floridians.